If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Speaking of numbers, I just lobbed a bizarre and terrifying statistic out there before we broke, and that was that the number of people, men and women in the service, who have died by suicide since the Vietnam War is now greater than the number of service men and women who died in the Vietnam War. That's a statistic that Phil Martinez told me. He's the chair of the board of directors of the AFSP Illinois chapter, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I think I got that right, Phil. Isn't that what you told me the other day when we visited?
That is correct, John. Yeah, in fact, it's a startling number. Thank you for having me, by the way.
Sure.
Thanks for all the work you do to help us get our message out there about suicide prevention. But yeah, I mean, there's so many demographics and numbers that we can look at, and sadly, veterans are one of the distinct numbers that pop out to the eye when we look at it. Last year, the CDC report just came out last month about the number of deaths by suicide in the United States, which was just over 49,000 last year, an all-time high, sadly, which breaks down to about 132 deaths by suicide each day in this country alone. And of that number, of that 132, there are around 17 of those that are veterans. Every day.
I was going to ask you, maybe you have this. I wonder if what we're seeing for members of the military is greater than other categories of the population.
Again, you know, we can dissect the numbers. And yeah, it definitely does increase the chance. And I don't have that one right in front of me, but veterans are at a higher suicide rate than the general population. As is a group like LGBTQ youth is another group that we see that at a higher rate than their non-LGBTQ peers. So,
and to what would you attribute that? Why those two categories? Just as a for instance, why do you suppose?
There's lots of theories, obviously, out there, and veterans, a lot of them are dealing with PTSD that goes untreated. You know, it goes untreated, unseen, unknown, and this is, you know, sadly what happens so often. So we need to have more services provided for our veterans. We need to have things that are in place for them to have places to go to. Our AFSP was just in Washington, D.C. back in May, and one of the things we were asking Congress to approve was the appropriation for the county and tribal veteran service affairs officers across the country that are fed by funding.
Sure.
And we're looking to have them be federally funded because they provide services for veterans and their families.
I know.
And
that,
as far as the
pick it up there, the LGBTQ community. What do you think about that?
And then for especially for the youth, we've just been seeing, and this is not a political statement, but we have been seeing a lot of politics across the country that are targeting especially the trans community within the LGBTQ community, and it increases feelings of non-safety. You know, even in Illinois, where we are actually a friendly state towards LGBTQ youth, and we do not have that type of legislation that we see going on in other states, it still affects the kids that are in the states that are not affected. We see it at all levels across the country.
You know, it does then make one wonder, what is the trigger? So what is it that causes someone to pass, to die by suicide? And you might say, well, it might be stress from having served in the service, or it might be the bullying that you feel, or being ostracized as a youth. But is that it, or is there something else? Tell me what else you know about triggers. Tell me what you know about what I can do if I see somebody struggling. I mean, how do we help these people? And Phil Martinez is the chair of the board of directors of the AFSP, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, the Illinois chapter here. Phil, is this, was September Suicide Prevention Month, or is it October?
No, it is in September. We also had Suicide Prevention Week, and we also had International Suicide Prevention Day, which was September 10th. But we also have International Survivors of Suicide Loss Day coming up November 17th.
talk to me about what I can notice if somebody is struggling, because you said it can be very silent. People can suffer. You mentioned members of the military who maybe aren't outwardly expressing what they're going through. What can I look for?
Yeah, John, that's a great question, because people would like to know, you know, is there something that I can see that helps me know this person is at risk? And sadly, there's not one single factor. You know, there's a fallacy out there that, you know, a single event can trigger someone to an act of suicide, such as a breakup, a job loss, you know, loss of a loved one, something like that. Of course, those can be contributing factors, but we find that there are many other things lying under the surface, risk factors such as health conditions, mental health conditions, depression, substance abuse problems, things of that nature, or environmental factors. Like I said, access to lethal means can help increase somebody's risk of suicide. Prolonged stress, you mentioned the bullying type thing that not only takes place in the school environment, but also in the workplace. And then historical factors, you know, previous suicide attempts or a family history of suicide or childhood abuse, neglect or trauma. You know, these are things that we are looking for, we're studying, we're examining to see if we can recognize those patterns. And what can you and what can we all do? If we see somebody that's acting very outside of their normal person, you know, they may become more withdrawn, they may start giving things away, they may stop attending things, and you see a drastic turn in behavior, mood, personality, that's typically a warning sign. And contrary to this common fallacy, talking to someone about suicide does not increase their likelihood to die by suicide. We have found through research that it actually decreases someone's likelihood, because what they are so good at doing, so adept at doing, is hiding what they do not want us to see. And so often we are left asking the questions, is there something I could have done? Was there something that I've missed? But like I say so often, that we missed it because they didn't want us to see it.
Do you suppose in those conversations, I'm so glad you said what you just said, by the way, a person who has been thinking about it will tell you that. I presume that it's not a spontaneous decision for most people, that it's festered, and only then do they die by suicide. So maybe they, if they're candid, will tell you that they're thinking about it before they do it. Is that true, Phil?
It very much is. And sometimes people have difficulty expressing exactly that feeling, but they're sending us the message. You know, they may talk about feeling hopeless. They might talk about having no reason to live or being a burden on others, you know, or the unbearable pain. That's another one we commonly hear.
Okay. Do you suppose the pandemic was a problem? Did that increase, do you think, these feelings that people have that lead them to TIP?
Yeah, sadly it did. We did see an increase in some numbers just prior to the pandemic. We had seen a decline in the numbers over the previous 2 years that we had not seen in the previous 20, but then the pandemic hit. So the good news is that the things that we were doing, organizations like ASSP, organizations like the Trevor Project, that, you know, also collaborate with suicide prevention, that we were doing something that was working, and then the pandemic hit. So we're going back, redoubling our efforts, and just, you know, digging our heels in and going back to what we know was shown to be working.
Does therapy help? Does therapy work?
Therapy can help. It is a way to go out, and typically when we talk to people that they're concerned about somebody, we ask them to seek out a mental health professional. More often than not, they will respond to therapy, but again, it's not for everyone. So we want to find that gateway, the way into getting them the help that they need. May not be traditional, may involve therapy, may involve outpatient services, may involve, I mean, there's a number of factors that we can, or resources that we can present to someone to help them address this.
Including pharmacology?
Including pharmacology, very much so, yeah. And we find that, I think of recent numbers were that 80% of people who die by suicide had some diagnosable mental health condition at the time of their death, whether it was treated or untreated. Again, that's the other half of the equation.
which, you know, kind of goes back to a point you were talking earlier about some of the trigger mechanisms, but that one child gets bullied and doesn't die by suicide and another does tells me that it's something else besides these external factors.
Exactly.
But that also, I don't want to let anybody off the hook. That is, it would seem to me like, yeah, we do need to take a pause here and continue this conversation
sure.
another day. But I guess we should be attentive to those triggers, too, because maybe we don't know about the underlying mental health struggles that people have.
You never know what someone else is going through. That's exactly right.
Phil, if I want help or want to help somebody, where do I go? Give me the best website you think.
Well, our website is actually very chock full of resources. That's AFSP.org, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. We've got a whole plethora of resources for everyone, and we have things that are available to people completely free of charge. We'll send materials, we'll send speakers, we'll send information, whatever people need. And the biggest one, and this is one that's really telling, John, is recently we just celebrated the one-year anniversary of 988 being put into place.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
That's the new National Suicide Crisis Hotline, which replaces our old 800-273-TALK. Sadly, John, only 55% of Americans know that it exists.
988, that's the number for suicide prevention.
You can call, text, talk, or chat with someone at 988. So that's the way to get to people. If you're concerned about yourself, concerned about a loved one, you know, that is a resource that we want to impress upon people that is available to them.
Let's talk again. Call me anytime, Phil. It's good to hear your voice today.
Thank you, Johnny. And I just want to remind your listeners, we've got our big suicide prevention walk coming up in Chicago at Montrose Harbor on October 21st, Saturday morning. So we hope to see a lot of your folks out there.
Out of the darkness into the light. Okay, Phil.
Thank you.
You bet. Stay well, and thank you for all that information.